Wait, we should have you all pepped up there for speaking tonight, Yolanda.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's anyone here but maybe two or three that don't already know Yolanda. And she is pretty committed to her God work. Yolanda has been around us now for quite a few years. There for a while she faded out and then she faded back in again. And she's many examples to us. She's someone that really gives God credit for her life. She's someone that has had a miraculous healing with no scar. No scar, honey. Miraculous healing. There's only such a few of you that don't already know Yolanda. So get ready, you're going to fall in love with Yolanda.
Well, I guess I'm Yolanda. And I'm asking that you turn off your cell phones. Not that I'm such a polished speaker, because I am not. Not like the eloquence of our Toastmaster Lindy, who's one of our very favorite, or the boisterous voice of Mr. Voiceover, George Thorne, or the healing energies of anyone that ever got to hear our Dr. Kevin, who has those words from his heart and healing hands. But because if I'm in thought process and I hear a cell phone go off, that thought goes right into la-la land, only to be found in the morning or 2 days later. So that's the only reason. Today, my talk I like to speak on is love and prayer, what love and prayer do for healing. And I looked into the Bible, which I do, but when you're asked to speak, you're kind of coerced to, sort of. And it doesn't hurt you to peek. So out of Matthew, I came out with love. And it's easy for us to love one another. It is. And it's easy for us to pray for one another. It's easy for us to sit amongst each other. That's a given. And it's easy for us that know that we know that we know. But what about the people that don't show physical ailments, who don't see the broken arm or have the cancer looks? How about the ones who are suffering internally and emotionally, who are mentally and emotionally challenged, and they don't show? Who have crossed your boundary and made you mad? Or as a family member and you're a caregiver? What about those people? So I looked in the Bible about that, because we are all God's people. And under Matthew 5:46, it states about us cozy lovers, "If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the heathens do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So I ask to bring to mind those that you're carrying resentments and pray for them as you would pray for yourself. And about prayer, you know, what is it about prayer that would make it so sincere, that would be different, and that would make it healing? Because even the Pharisees of old, they would stand on street corners and blow horns. To show their faithfulness. And they shout prayers to the people in public display. And of them they say is written. And now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pretend poverty by praying publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Truly, that is all the reward they will ever get. It's just people looking at them. And I'm so glad that we have the power of prayer in this congregation. Many miracles have been formed here, even in modern day. 66 books to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and all of it filled with lessons and examples and miracles. When Jesus was on earth and he had all these healing energies, of which we can also have because we can do the same thing, he was approached and they wanted to arrest him. And to show the value of how much a human is worth, when they approached him to ask questions, it was posed like this. Then he went over to the synagogue and noticed there was a man with a deformed hand. Does that look a little deformed? The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Is it legal to work by healing on the Sabbath day?" They were, of course, hoping he would say yes so they could arrest him. This was his answer. "If you had just one sheep, it fell into a well on the Sabbath, would you work to rescue it that day? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep?" So prayer can be done all the time. Healing energies can be sent out through vibration. Just a thought of a person can make a phone ring or make an email, because we live in modern times, pop up on your screen. Thought is very powerful, and your thoughts are your prayers. That's why it is admonished to watch your thoughts and watch your deeds. What is it? Watch your thoughts, words, and deeds. I think of watch your thoughts, words, and deeds. Probably the toughest one for me is the thoughts. Boy, they get crazy up there. I get a committee up there that's pro and con and neutral, and they start arguing in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, and it's like I have to really pray to calm down. It's not a big issue, but that committee sometimes goes off. I don't know if you have one, but I sure do. Here comes another really, really tough one. We are examples to one another, and we can simplify this by our very own unique belief system. Because we all believe in the same way, we still believe individually, because we still count as an individual soul having the gift of will. Okay? You will to be here, or you will not to be here. You will to pray, or you will not to pray. You will to believe, or you will not to believe, because we are free agents. And God only wants those that will come to him freely. And it's sometimes difficult for us to express our belief system when we're out and when we're about. Some of us don't have that much trouble, and some of us do. And some of us who don't have that much trouble find sometimes they do. So we all experience it, you know, at different levels and at different times and in different situations. And this is what it says about that. What about being happy, about being doing that, about learning that and having it in your life. "What happiness there is for you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. What happiness there is for you who are now hungry, for you are going to be satisfied. What happiness there is for you who weep, for the time will come when you shall laugh with joy. What happiness is there when others hate you and exclude you and insult you and smear your name because you are mine. When that happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for you will have a great reward awaiting you in heaven, and you will be in good company. The ancient prophets were treated that way too. So can you feature that? The great reward. We still get great rewards. It's like being on the planet and we try to live an upright life, an honest life, a fruitful life, and we get some of the joys on an earthly plane. But then when we cross over, we get good company. Excellent company and more fun, I would think. If it isn't fun, I don't want to go there. But that's what I got tonight out of reading the scriptures. And some of the people who have talked here before has always given me lessons. The belief example of each other, we're really witnesses. We're witnesses to one another of what we believe, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we walk, how we live our lives. Don't look at my house. I haven't vacuumed and probably going on 3 weeks. But everything is an example to your belief system. And if you don't like something that's going on in your life, take a real good look at it because you invited it. We are the amount sum of the five people we most associate with. And I'm so glad I'm here tonight, because there's more than five of you. So I'm really, really, really wealthy. I wanted to extend this whole talk, feature this, for about 20 minutes, and I've only been talking for 10, and I've come to the end. So my hands are extended, so you think it was a long one? Long talk? So now I'm just waiting to get inspired.
Do your trumpets again.
Boop-boo-doo-boo! Boop-boo-doo-boo! That's what the Pharisees did. You know, and that's what a lot of people, you can see the little wackies, kind of. They're downtown San Diego, and they stand on bus stops, and they're hitting the Bible, and they're preaching and stuff. What makes them any different than us? Not much. They're on a bench, and we're on foot. We pray silently, and they're doo-doo-doo-doo! Those are the ones that you pray for. We've had tragedy in our family, and much of it. And some of the things that have occurred were not very pleasant. Like, I had a cousin who actually killed his wife and left two children behind. And we pray for him. We pray for him. How much more sorrow does he carry in his heart today because of what had happened? Then the miracles that happened. I was burned on my face. I had second and third degree burns from here over, eyebrow hair, lip was all mutilated kind of looking, and I melted. You know, I used to think only witches melted in the rain, but I melted. I was melting, and they really believed I was going to have plastic surgery. When they treat a burn like that, they scrape you with a metal brush. Kind of looks like a brush that they brush horses with. And they take that little steel and they start going across the face to get all the dead skin off. My mouth webbed together. It was like spider webs when I try to open my mouth. And people in the congregation were praying for me. And I became on the corner of the world. And someone brought my mail, and in the mail there was this little angel that came anonymous, And I still have that little angel on the side of my bed. And I didn't need plastic surgery or extensive medications or a special type of creams to bring back the skin. I did have some white sulfite for the burn, but this is the side that got burned, and this is the side that didn't, and this side looks better, but I don't want to do it on this side. Then my daughter Iris, my youngest daughter, she was stricken with cancer, and we have some examples in here tonight of the miracle of the power of prayer. And she had third stage inflammatory HR positive, just the whole thing. And it affected her lymph nodes under her left arm. I've been wearing this little bracelet since we found out. And the people in here got to work. You don't have to know somebody personally to pray for them. And that prayer work really, really was huge. She was so sick from the chemo. I mean, sick, sick. She started losing a lot of weight. She couldn't eat. She lost, of course, all her hair and her eyebrows and her eyelashes. And she looked like a mole, a naked mole from the zoo. And the tumor was as big as a man's fist. She had double mastectomy, and her lymph nodes was removed from under her left arm, and everyone continued to pray. When in pathology, they go to test, they could see how big the tumor was and how small it had gotten. It went from a large size, they couldn't find it, to a dot like the dot at the end of a pen on a white piece of paper. That was all she had. And then she continued with the chemo, and 2 months after that, she took what was called a PET test, and they shoot her up with active radiation or something. I don't know, something that makes her all aglow. And they could not find any cancer in her body whatsoever. She was cancer-free. But she continued with the chemo because she wanted to make sure that it would never come back. Now that she's done with the chemo, she's into her series of radiation, which really worries me as a mom. Even though I have the faith and I believe and I know the power of prayer and I have the example every time I look in the mirror and all that, mothers have a different category when it comes to their children. There's always a little niche in there that goes, eek, to your child. And the radiation goes straight through. It doesn't stop and hit the target. It goes straight through sideways and in her arm, and she gets 3 zaps daily, 40 seconds each. She's got probably another 4 weeks, 4 and a half weeks to go with that, and then she's done. So it's progress, not perfection. So let's keep praying for Iris in that time, because that's a critical time. It's a different treatment, but you want to make sure that the hands of the beamers do it right. And pray for our Larry Gretler. I went to see him, and he was laboring hard to breathe. So I put a pillow under his knees and fluffed up the pillows under his head and covered him up. He was really cold. And I was uncomfortable sitting there because my back started to hurt. So I laid down next to him, and I held his hand, and I thought to myself, he could go any second, and I'll be holding his hand. And I wasn't one bit afraid, but he fell into a really deep, deep sleep, because I kept checking to see if he was breathing, and I left. And I saw him just the other day, and he told me that he only has 10% of his heart working now. He's getting really forgetful, and he's making sure his paperwork is in order. He qualifies for hospice, but he doesn't want to do that. So prayers. We do not know when the Creator, when God will take us. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the day, the hour, or the time. Not the Son, only the Father. But prayer to make it comfortable, if that is the fate that he's going towards, is what I ask, that he is comfortable no matter what decision is going to be made in his behalf. And I don't think that we are a glum lot, so I didn't mean to bring it down after all of that hip-hop music that we had in here. It was so much fun. The best is yet to come. We have the message bearers, but let me also add that the greatest gift of all is the healers. So if you haven't had a healing here at the forum, it's held upstairs, come here early enough, like 6:30, and race yourself up there, because there's a waiting line, and get yourself a nice healing. The healers in here, you know who you are. And there's healers in here that don't go upstairs and stand behind the stools, because you can smile in any language, and that's a healing ointment. So with that, I have nothing funny to say. And I am